What's up, guys? The second episode ever in the history of the Wadapalooza podcast. I'm here, Dylan Malitsky, your host, alongside a very, very special guest.
Howdy do da day.
That's the voice of an angel. But which angel?
Noah Olson.
Yeah, so
straight from heaven.
Noah Olson joining us here on the Wadapalooza podcast, and for very good reason. He is actually our reigning elite champion in 2015, and he's been a participant of the event for 4 years. Dude, all 4 years?
Ever since the beginning, yeah.
In the elite division all 4 years, or RX division?
I think so. I believe so. Probably back. Didn't belong in the first couple of years, but...
Well, here's something we can definitely touch on soon. But yeah, man, we're really excited to have Noah with us. And but before we get into some question and answer with Noah, and we'll certainly chat it up with him, we just want to go over some of the big things happening on the Wadapalooza front. Number one, the week one of the individual challenge has come and gone. Workouts one and two, the score submission was due yesterday at 8 p.m. We'll talk a little bit about the workouts and the leaderboard. But tomorrow, 8 p.m. EST, we get to do it all over again. Woo-hoo. And yeah, we got two more workouts coming your way. And be excited. Yeah, quite a contrast to week one. So I'm excited to see what they are. I'm sure everyone else is, and we'll see how that goes. But additionally, one more thing is that we've got our team challenge registration still open, and that will pop off on October 29th. So if you are still considering about doing the challenge, if you're doing the individual challenge, if you're not, you can still sign up at thewadapalooza.com/register. And you can find the link everywhere on our bio and our social media feeds and whatnot. So that's it. That's all I really wanted to talk about. Important stuff pertaining to Wadapalooza. But, you know, there's some people that maybe just found this podcast completely by accident and are wondering who is the angel Noah Olson. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I am no angel, but I am a 24-year-old young man that has been kind of living through the sport of CrossFit the past 5 years. And I've been lucky enough every single year to have competed in this awesome competition called Wadapalooza. I remember back in the day when it was just an idea, and before they had the awesome Wadapalooza name, we were trying to come up with different names, and we talked about they wanted to do it around winter, and we thought about like the Thanksgiving throwdown and all this stuff, but it's turned into something that's actually really cool and kind of becoming a phenomenon worldwide.
Yeah, man, it's definitely grown, and it's funny that you bring all that up because Guido was on with us in our first episode, and he spoke a lot about the beginnings of Wadapalooza, and how it started off is like, you know, just an idea from Steve, you know, his partner, in having a class in the park, and then somehow it turned into a competition, and each year it's grown and grown. But on that same note of like beginnings of Wadapalooza, I'd like to start off just by asking you, man, I know that you're a pretty well-known figure in the functional fitness community. He's shaking his head right now, folks. So humble, the guy. No, seriously. But I wanted to ask, no, talk about your beginnings with functional fitness for those that do not know.
Cool. So I grew up playing all kinds of sports. I played lacrosse, football, wrestled for a year, and then in college, the remainder of my high school years, and then a little bit in college, was playing water polo, and kind of stumbled upon CrossFit about 5 years ago. Saw a poster of Guido running on the beach, and he was all jacked, and I was like, I want to look like that guy. So I went into Peak, tried to work out, got my butt kicked, and it was kind of something totally new and exciting. I was working out a lot, but kind of getting bored of the same old routine, and got to mix it up with CrossFit a little bit, did it for a few weeks, and then kind of realized that it was something that I wanted to commit myself to, so stopped playing water polo, started training CrossFit full-time. After about a year, probably not even a year, less than a year, started competing, signed up for the CrossFit Games Open, and yeah, the rest is kind of history. Just have tried to keep growing and building from there, and eventually get to where I am now.
Yeah, man, when I think of your beginnings of CrossFit, it was, you know, about a year into it when I, you were a year into it when I started, but I think of this picture that was photoshopped of you and like Julian Serna and John Adams, and it's you like 2 feet shorter.
Oh, shrunken down, yeah.
you were chasing those guys, and
yeah.
And you know what, it's kind of funny seeing it from the beginning to where you're at now. It's kind of hard to think the distance you've traveled and the amount you've grown. I kind of remember with you and Guido going back and forth in the box, and I've heard you talk about that before, where like, you know, he would beat your butt all the time in workouts, and then slowly but surely you had your first victory over him. I think I was at the box that day, and it just kind of has taken off from there. Not to take anything away from Guido as an athlete, because, you know, he had his time, and now he's focusing on other things, as well as maybe competing on a little team action here in the CrossFit game season. But yeah, man, really, really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been quite the journey.
But on that same note, man, you know, less about the history now, what have you been up to most recently?
I have been kind of fully committing myself to CrossFit. I was still in school for the past, for the first 3 to 4 years of kind of competing. So bouncing back and forth between getting my undergrad degree and then a master's in kinesiology and trying to train CrossFit. And it was awesome. And I was able to graduate and qualify for the CrossFit Games for the first time in the same year. And now that I have earned my degree, I've been fortunate enough with all my awesome sponsors and the direction that the sport is going to be able to fully commit my time to training for CrossFit and trying to become the fittest man on earth and to hold on to my Wadapalooza title. So yeah, just day to day, I'm in the gym with Max and getting in training, making sure that I'm kind of staying as well-rounded as possible, getting stronger, working on my gymnastics, my endurance, all that stuff.
Cool, man. And I think he, you know, what Noah did not mention, though, that he is probably one of the best coaches, at least in the state of Florida. You know, I can't speak for other states. You know, when I started CrossFit, Noah was a coach here, and we became very close friends. But as an athlete, I think, yeah, Noah's one of the best in the biz. But along that same line is like professions. You know, you're kind of now a professional athlete as the sport grows.
Sounds funny to hear that, but
it really is, yeah. Man. And it talked about it in theory, like, you know, a couple years ago, right. But now it really is taking shape. Cool. But so my question is kind of, you know, we're bouncing back and forth from history to now, and I'm really posing this question because I kind of know the answers. But what were some of your previous jobs, maybe like prior to or, you know, in the beginning stages of CrossFit?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of before I got into CrossFit, I did the everyday kind of job just to make money. I was a busboy at Panera Bread. I coached summer camps at a gymnastics facility. I was a lifeguard. And then when I got into college, I was actually an RA at the University of Miami for about a year. And that was kind of right around the time that I found CrossFit and then decided to fully dedicate myself to that and let being a student and a CrossFit athlete become my job.
So speaking of the RA stuff, like I said, that's how I kind of met Noah here. But, you know, as an RA, for those of you that don't know, it's a resident assistant. It's kind of like a live-in person in the dorms that, you know, handles all the issues on the floor.
Caretaker.
So, yeah, pretty much, right? Because you've got these 18-year-old kids that have never been away from mom and dad, and they miss their parents, or they just get absolutely wasted on their, you know, whatever. You know, some bad things potentially happen. What would you say was your most interesting story as an RA with either an issue you dealt with on your floor, or I don't know?
Oh, man, I think you have way more interesting stories than I do. Some crazy stuff. But I don't know. There were plenty of fire alarms and people kind of getting stuck in the buildings. Not with any actual fires, but I remember that, like, people would hide out in their rooms while everybody was trying to go out and go through the drill. Yeah, and I don't know. Why don't you tell us one of your crazy stories? I can't think of anything crazy that comes to mind, but I know you dealt with some bloody stories, crazy football players.
I mean, I think I don't have to go into detail, but you know, by the way, if you didn't catch, we both attended the University of Miami, and yeah, just let's say we dealt with some unruly football players that did not like authority as much as
loud music.
Yes, and, you know. If you know that song, I don't think anyone has any idea what song I'm doing there, but it's still going to go in the podcast. Anyway, but I think we had similar stories, man.
Got it. Just picked up on
that. Yeah, he knows the story. Anyway, so enough about being an RA, man. Let's get back to a little bit of your fitness career, which actually, before we get to that, I completely failed to mention that the challenge week one, I want to talk about the leaderboard. And,
let's do it.
Yeah, dude, and also, you know, what happened? What's it look like right now? So, if you guys didn't know, the first week consisted of two workouts. Workout number one was presented by Compex USA, and it was a three-position snatch, one from the floor, one below the knee, and then one from the hang. The tiebreaker was max unbroken overhead squat. So upon finishing that final snatch, you've got to keep that bar overhead and go for it.
So difficult.
Yeah, man. And it's before we go into some of these scores, you did mention that you had a chance to give it a try.
Yeah, I gave it a whirl. twice, actually, kind of messed around with it. Once was with a good friend of mine, Nathan Bramlett, came down with Jacob Heppner last weekend to compete in another awesome local competition down here, the Crush Games. And the day before we had to go compete, we wanted to snatch, so we gave it a shot. And maybe being a little conservative because we had the competition coming up, but Nathan and I both gave it a go at 260 as our final attempt. Wow. And I just lost my grip on the last snatch every time, and I didn't realize that was going to be such a factor.
Right.
But I don't know if it was the Miami humidity down here. The bar kept slipping out of my hands, and I had a really hard time just kind of generating power without the bar feeling like it was going to go flying. But
you think if you were actually competing in the challenge, you probably would have given another try, and you feel like
you
could have gotten it at 260.
Maybe would have planned for it a little bit better, and yeah. I would hope that I'd be able to go 260 plus, which I know is nowhere near what some of these guys put up, but it would have been enough to kind of hold my own up there.
And that's you know, exactly what I wanted to allude to here. I'm looking at the leaderboard, and if you guys did not know, 260 with one overhead squat.
Oh God, don't even tell me.
Is 19th place.
Oof.
This sport is going in an insane direction. Yeah. I don't know how anyone, if you do not have a snatch above 235, 245, to remain competitive in an online challenge or online qualifier like this, it's near impossible. Yeah. Unless you've got some serious big numbers.
That's crazy.
How about this? Just to go through a couple of the other numbers here. First place, Marco Coppola. Did I pronounce that right?
I think it's Coppola.
Coppola. Okay, I'll go with that one. Yeah, so he's from CrossFit Overtake. He took first place, 287 pounds.
That's 7 pounds more than I can snatch once off the ground normally.
When you think about your first year at regionals, man, I remember there was that ladder. What did you end up finishing on that? Do you remember what snatch you hit? Like, it was what, 3 years ago?
In 2012, there was a snatch ladder, and I successfully snatched 195 pounds. And I missed a 5-pound PR at 205.
Oh, man, I remember it was close, dude, if I recall correctly. But this guy, 287, not for off-the-floor one. I remember, I think the last weight on the ladder that year was like 275.
It might have been, I think
Brandon Phillips hit it.
Something crazy like that, yeah.
Or Asia Barto, or somebody cleared it.
Right,
like,
right.
One or two people cleared it, but it was insane at the time. This guy hit 3 reps without putting the bar down.
Yeah.
And while he didn't get any overhead squats, I think he, you know, definitely killed it. Second place.
He didn't
place,
need to.
Yeah, I mean, he was at the top of the leaderboard by far. Then second place was Stephen Wallace, 281. Then third, Mr. Chris Harris of CrossFit Athletic Academy, 280 pounds.
Cool. Strong dude.
Yeah, man. And so let's actually go over to the female side and see how they fared. I know they were some impressive finishes.
Now that I feel like crap about seeing all the men's weight, I'll probably feel even worse about seeing all the women's
well,
weights.
Well, I'm blown away as well, dude. If you look top eight right here, top seven, excuse me, 175 or more. And I will try to pronounce the first place holder, Herman Fossault.
Sounds beautiful. I think that's it.
Try my best. It's spelled German.
It might be Focal. German. Yeah, I don't
I'll let
know.
You guys go on and read it. Thewaterpalooza.com. Whatever the name is.
Either way, she's a strong gal.
CrossFit CCS, and she hit 185 for 3 overhead squats. I think the 3 overhead squats are just insulting everyone else on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So that's, and she still took 194th in the division, so she's not really up there. I think her Metcon, this WOD number 2, which was, ladies and gentlemen, sorry, my phone is vibrating, and it's underneath my butt here, so it's kind of throwing me off.
You a little excited.
Yeah. Or that's just the WOD. WOD number 2 was the following. It was an ascending ladder of thrusters and double unders. For the elite division, it was an RX, 12 and 35. And it was started at 75. Every round went up by 20 pounds. And let's see if we sort by here. Let's start with the ladies because we're on it. First place, Mackenzie Riley, 382 repetitions.
I'm not even sure what round that's into, but it sounds pretty significant.
We'll figure it out right here, right now. 382 divided by 47. She got into the eighth. She got more than 8 full rounds, dude. That's 125. That's 135. She got into the 135 bar.
That's impressive.
And if you figure that out for the men.
I saw some guys downstairs that were struggling with 135.
Oh, dude, I mean, I'm telling you, the intermediate division guys, if you didn't know the breakdown, intermediate and scaled, they went up by 10 pounds starting at 95, so that's probably where you saw it. Yeah, 135 after 8 rounds can get pretty tough. And then when you look at the guys, I think the top score, again, was into that 215 bar. I don't think we had any get into the 235 bar.
I haven't given that one a shot, but I would like to see how far into that bar I could potentially get.
Yeah, man, no, I think it's a fun one, and I'll hit that with you if you want later on. I'm down.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, that is our leaderboard. That's how it shakes up. If we go to, like, Masters, male and women, top 25 females, top 35 men in the Masters division qualify. Again, some crazy numbers. If you see here, the men, top guy hitting 235 and three overhead squats. That nice. Is nuts. Also, yeah, Jerome Perryman, a former CrossFit Games competitor, he hit 228. Just the numbers are off the chain.
Yeah, I know that guy, Peter Kazanis, right here at a Peak 360. I saw him do the double under and thruster workout, kick some butt on that. I think he tried it like three or four times.
Oh, yeah.
For his final score of 285, pretty solid.
Yeah, that's, I mean, took fourth place across the board in that division, so
good. Consistent.
Yeah, man, good for him. And he, I heard that his celebration after the 220 and seven overhead squats is amazing. If I can find that link, ladies and gentlemen, we'll put it up there on the blog. But regardless, really, really good stuff. But again, guys, I guess enough about this. One thing I do want to mention, actually, before we part ways with it, is I just want to say the prizes. So we're doing it up big this year for Wodapalooza. For every division of the challenge, meaning the winner of the Elite and RX division, the winner of Intermediate Scaled, for each WOD, as well as for Youth 13 to 15, Youth 16 to 18, for WOD 1, the top score took home a Compex Sport Elite unit. So they're going to get that sent to them. Pretty cool.
Oh, man. I know I got the invite, but maybe I should have signed up.
Dude, you could have done. There's a few names on here that are former games athletes, man. You should have just done it.
Maybe, that's awesome.
That's WOD 1. WOD 2, first place took home. It was presented by RPM Fitness. They get a custom RPM rope.
Oh, those things are the best. Lucky.
That's what you use, is it, am I correct?
I do, yep. RPM is where it's at.
Cool, man. So let's. I want to kind of dive back into you, my friend, and talk a little bit more about you, because that's really probably what the majority of people care about.
I've always wanted you to dive into me.
I don't know if that will make the final cut, though, if we're going to be allowed to do that, but you're absolutely right. So let's talk a little bit about, because you were the former champ in 2015, dude. I wanted to ask, and I kind of preface you with this, how did you spend that cash? Do you remember how much it was, by the way?
I believe it was, I know exactly how much it was. Yeah. It was $25,000, which is probably the most money I've ever made in one weekend. Well, by itself.
There's something else in Cali we don't have to talk about here. An event that was on the beach, right?
Yep.
And you took home how much for that?
So, that was the second time that I've made that much money in one weekend.
Oh, it was the same amount. Cool.
It was about the same, yeah.
We might have to cut that part out. We'll see. I don't know if Keto's going to be cool with
that's
that.
That's okay.
But anyway, so how did you spend it? It was 25 last year. This year, by the way, we've upped it. It's going to be 30 for first place.
Okay.
So my question is, how did you spend your cash? But then I want to know, if you were to win this year, how would you spend that 30,000 big ones?
All right. So the first time that I made that cash, like we were talking about at Wodapalooza, it went straight to the bank. Just Ben. I know that's kind of a boring cliche answer. No stacks were thrown at any club or anything crazy like that. I think I indulged, I'm sure, on some small little things, but I don't know. I haven't had anything significant yet that I've needed to spend a large portion of money on. So everything that I've won over the past couple years is kind of in the bank waiting for a big purchase. So maybe a car, a home. You know, we're both kind of getting to that point, being 24 years old and looking for a place to live and settle in and all that. So maybe that'll come, and Wodapalooza will help me pay for that.
Cool, man. Yeah, very much, very well could if you pull it off once again. But there have been a few big names already announced. If you look at our social media feed, we've posted quite a bit. Spencer Hendel, who did phenomenal at this year's CrossFit Games.
Nice.
He's been to Wodapalooza quite a number of times.
Love Hendel Ruski.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he's coming back with a vengeance, and I think he could potentially be on that podium alongside you.
Dang it.
We'll see who else. Just check it out, guys. Check out our social media feed, and we'll be announcing more names coming up here soon. So pay attention.
Hopefully not too many more.
Yeah, you want to win again, my friend. I feel it, and you're certainly up there, I'm sure. But we'll see what other big names are coming.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
So, talking about your last year's victory, the year before, you were just cut short of the podium. For those of you that don't know, Noah tied in points for third place, and when they went to the tiebreaker, he did not end up on there. And I think who occupied the third?
Nate Schrader. The Schradenator. Yeah. So that story is a funny one, because I was so confident that I had taken third place. I don't know. The way the points were and the way I did in the last workout, I thought I had it for sure, and I was really excited. That was my first time stepping on a podium with the caliber athletes that I had, or that I would have. And so I remember sitting on the side of the stage waiting for them to call up third place, and they said, in third place, and I went to take my first step. And they said, we have a tie. And I kind of shrunk back down. And when they announced that it was a tie between Nate and I, and that it was by the tiebreaker was the highest place finish, and that he had that, I felt pretty crushed and disappointed. But it was cool. It was just something to fuel the fire and make sure that there was a wide enough margin the next year that it didn't come down to that.
And look at your next year performance, man. I think it speaks for itself, dude. You pulled it off and handedly, man. So
thank you.
Congrats to you, my brother.
Appreciate it.
And then I guess, you know, I think that's talking about Wadapalooza, it goes back to just your degree of improvement in the sport. But somebody else that's been improving quite a bit, I want to talk about your little buddy Max. He, you know, I've seen him from his infancy to where he's at now. That guy gets better and better at the sport of fitness every single day.
He is. He's crushing it.
Yeah, man. I want to ask, just talk about Max. For those of you that don't know Max, tell the most people do, but
well, you can find out a little more about him and kind of get a piece of his story by following him on Instagram at Maximus Olson. He's growing quite a little following there. He actually got posted yesterday by Hot Dudes with Dogs. Hot Dudes. And I think it was a picture of he and I don't know who was the hot dude and who was the dog in the picture, but he got quite a few more followers off that. I think now he's at 15.5 thousand or something. I don't know. He's just he's a really cute guy and really fun, happy dude. So we like to post, or he likes to post a lot of pictures of himself and cool videos with funny captions. So check him out there. But he is almost 2 years old. His second birthday will be coming up on November 28th.
Going up. What is that, yep, dog years?
I believe he'll be 14.
Oh, he's a teen.
A tween. Yep.
Can officially register for Wadapalooza.
Finally, right? In the teen division. But yeah, no, he's awesome, man. He's in the gym with me all the time. He kind of hates the humidity down here in Miami, spending all day in the gym, so we have him his own personal little fan that he sits out in front of when he's not working out. We were just in California, and I think he enjoyed the weather out there a little more than here, but he definitely missed everybody at peak, so now that we're back, he's pumped to be here.
Well, now you brought two good questions up, and I thought you were going to address it when we talked earlier about what have you been up to, but you were out in Cali for some time, man. Talk a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, for sure. So my girlfriend Joanne and I, lovely young lady, were in a position where we were kind of rolling with the tides. We had both pretty much just graduated from college, and I was pursuing this career of being a CrossFit athlete, and like I said earlier, comfortable enough that we were kind of figuring it out. She was looking for jobs, and I knew I was going to have to go to California for the CrossFit Games in July. So we kind of bought a one-way ticket out there, and we're going to see what happens. She was going to apply to a few jobs out there, and if it clicked, we would stay. If nothing happened, then kind of had the, not the fallback, but would be able to come back down here to Miami, where we kind of are more familiar with what's going on around here. And that's exactly what happened. So we spent 3 months out in California, competed in the CrossFit Games, which turned right into the grid season with the LA Reign, and then the CrossFit Team Series. So once that all wrapped up, Joanne was fortunate enough to get a job with UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Department. So we are both venturing back over to the East Coast, or all three of us, I should say, because Max was with us for the whole thing. But yeah, we'll be here now.
And you're back for good.
Back for good, forever and ever.
Do you have to head back to like get anything? Or?
Yeah, I'll have to take a weekend trip out to kind of pack up some of my things and probably say some goodbyes. But I know it won't be forever, because hopefully every summer for quite a few years, I'll be heading back out to California. July. Fingers crossed. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. And on that same note then, dude, I got to ask you. You mentioned what Max preferred. What about you? Florida, Miami, or SoCal?
You know, there are so many awesome things about both of them, and I obviously had this discussion with Joanne and with myself in my head many times on which I preferred, and there are a lot of pros and cons. Honestly, both quite similar, right? They're both on the coast, right? So there's beach either way. The humidity here is kind of a downfall in Miami. I mean, some people love to sweat, And I enjoy it too, but it just hits you so hard when you come back. My first training session coming from the West Coast to the East Coast is always so devastating. I did a little monster mash the Monday that I got back 2 weeks ago, and the final of three workouts had some double unders in it, and my first round, my calf cramped up, I think, just Charlie from horse, being like, dehydrated. Yeah, like cramped on
did
the
floor. Like,
yep, had to sit on the floor and wait 5 minutes for it to go away. So the humidity's tough to deal with, but there are really cool people over here. A lot of really cool things to do. And I honestly, the main draw back to Miami for me is Peak 360. I love everybody here. It's been my family for the past 5 years. And honestly, if my career is to be a professional CrossFit athlete, and I'm trying to train the hardest that I possibly can to win competitions like this, then the environment that I'm the most familiar with and where I perform best is right here at Peak. So I'm really excited to get back here and get to the grind.
Dude, I'm glad to have you back, and I know everyone at Peak is too, so I definitely have to emphasize that, man. Welcome back home, and we're excited to have you again, brother.
But thank you much.
We're still not done. I know you're probably like, this is a long podcast, but I know everyone wants to hear. So I would say also, you know, on a more serious note, and if that wasn't serious enough, Noah is probably the most underrated in terms of his hair. He's got some of the dopest hair. I would say a more serious note. Noah, what is the product you use in your hair? I'm sure aspiring CrossFitters that want to know. If this is a secret, then you can...
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess kind of over the past couple years, after one lucky day with my buddy Freddie at the spot down here, he kind of hooked me up with this awesome little haircut, and I've been maintaining it for a couple years, and a lot of people have asked me what I use and what I do, and while I can't quite give away the secret, if you guys go see Freddie... He could probably hook you up and let you in on what's going on up top.
Well, dude, that's perfect because January is not too far away, and these guys and girls coming down for Wadapalooza can get the Noah Olsen haircut. I'm talking about guys and girls included.
Okay.
Head on over to Freddie, and maybe he'll be able to hook it up.
You know what? I've actually got a little surprise. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this.
I think I heard this already, but I wasn't sure. You'd say it.
But Freddie is probably going to be set up at Wadapalooza giving out Noah Olsen haircuts, Guido Trinidad haircuts.
Everyone wants the Guido Trinidad haircut. Dude, you've seen it in the
Guido's
video.
Hair is pretty cool. I'm digging it right now. I don't know. Oh, yeah. He's got the little undercut with the sweep over. But
looks amazing. It's the best haircut on the planet.
Whoa. But yeah, Freddie will be there doing haircuts on the spot and maybe a couple days before the competition, which I think is pretty awesome. So you guys should go check that out. Get hooked up.
So that's reason number one to come to Wadapalooza, get a haircut from Freddie. You are trying to tell the rest of the world why they need to be at Wadapalooza. What would you tell them? What would you say?
Oh, man. Aside from that, it's just so much fun. I've been doing it for the past 5 years for good reason. The environment is amazing. You're literally right on the water, and for the past 3 years in the water, and probably hopefully again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're competing under the city lights at nighttime. It's kind of a vibe that you don't get anywhere else. Second, the programming is incredible. It's so cool. I had a couple of friends text me that didn't know. They know I'm affiliated with you guys and that I've done Wadapalooza the past couple of years. So a buddy texted me, man, who's doing the programming for week one of the qualifier? I love it. It's so awesome. And I was like, yeah, that's Guido. He's really good at what he does. Yeah. So hopefully that guy is able to qualify and come down and get even bigger taste of what Guido has for the programming for Wadapalooza, because it's always been awesome.
Yeah, it's cool to hear it from your perspective, man, about what makes Wadapalooza so great. And I think, you know, those of you out there listening that are thinking about it, I think it's a great opportunity to experience one of the best fitness festivals in the world. Make sure you check it out, whether you're going to be competing or spectating. Make sure to pay attention to our website for when tickets become available.
Who doesn't want to take a trip to Miami either? Like,
January.
There are competitions everywhere that you can go to, but if you need to convince a spouse maybe to come watch you at a competition, they get a little vacation in Miami on the beach. You know, it's rather than going to anywhere else, I don't know.
Yeah, it's January. It's freezing cold. I mean, why? There's no better reason to come down here and experience the fun. And
you're probably going to work out that weekend anyways. You may as well try to do it with a bunch of friends and make some money.
Absolutely. I'm with you, dude. And on that same note, talking about Wadapalooza, we're almost done here, man. I want to ask, if you remember, you talked about the programming being so great. Aside from the qualifiers and the challenge, what was your favorite WAD or memory at Wadapalooza? And they might be two different things.
Oh, man, there's been so many. So there have been 4 years of Wadapalooza so far, and probably an average of... what would you say, like 6 to 10 events per year, maybe? Something like that?
Yeah, I'd say like 2 or 3 a day. I think Saturdays where there's 3, and then Friday and Sunday might have 2.
Let's call it 9.
Yeah, 7, right? somewhere at 7 or 8.
Let's call it 8. So 8 times 4 years, 36 workouts to choose from.
Wow. That was...
what?
The math did not... oh, did you 9 times 4?
8 times... no, 9 times 4.
Okay, good. There we go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was on the high end.
See, yeah.
That's on the high end.
Okay, I'm about to say, well, I kind of looked around like, no. No, you might want to go
it's
back.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's since school. Been in school.
Yeah. So on the high end, if there were 36 full workouts, which is quite a bit, I think that the one that kind of stands out to me the most, because it's the most recent, was the final workout from last year. I know that I was a little bit ahead in points going into the final workout, but I really wanted to seal the deal and finish that one strongly to kind of lock in the title of the Wodapalooza champ. And it was a long chipper that included power cleans, rope climbs, muscle-ups, and finished with thrusters. And probably my coolest memory, and something that I'll always, always remember, it was nighttime, really late, it was dark, and I was the first person to the final barbell, and it was 10 thrusters at, I think, 155 pounds. The bar was facing the crowd, the stands. Everybody that was at the competition was there watching because we were the final heat. So hundreds of people, and under the lights, first one to the barbell, pick it up, and every single rep of 10, the crowd counted me down, and I finished the 10th rep, dropped the bar behind me, and stepped out to this kind of roar of the crowd and sealed the deal and won Wodapalooza for the first time. So it was a really cool memory for me, yeah.
That's incredible, man. That's that's definitely an electric moment, to say the least. And you guys, if you have not been prior, you need to experience this live and in person. I'm telling you, there'll be more information on our website here shortly about that. And then the last thing I want to talk about the event is that volunteer registration will be up and running October 15th. So
I think I might do that this year instead.
Volunteer, not compete, man.
They get hooked up with a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, dude. I wasn't going to say it. I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah, dude, there's going to be some awesome swag from Reebok. Progenics hooks it up. You guys get an awesome, awesome pack. Expect some Nano 5.0s and some other stuff. Just make sure, guys, that if you're interested, you sign up ASAP, because we are not going to be taking everyone. There's actually a waiting list every year. So
okay.
That's the volunteer. If that's the waiting list to come and work all weekend long, then you want to come down and spectate at the very least. Make sure you get your butt down here. But yeah, man, to finish this off here, the last thing I want to talk to you about, and I think I touched on it briefly earlier, and it's more pertaining less about the event, but as the sport in general grows, I would say people have legit fans, and Noah, you're becoming a role model. Whether you wanted to or not, this sport, as it continues to become more of a profession, more people are looking up to you and kind of recognizing what you do, following suit with your training. They value your opinion. They're always on your social media feed. I mean, you're a big figure in the sport. So at the end of the day, you know, you're still young, right? You've got plenty of years ahead of you to compete. At the end of your competition days, what would you say you want your legacy to be?
Oh, man. Getting deep on that one. it still blows my mind. It's really hard to believe that I have one, let alone any number of fans. But simply because when I started, I was a fan of so many of these guys, and I still am fans of so many of these awesome athletes and awesome people. But I don't know, man. I think if there's anything that I can do as an influence within our community, I think it's really cool that I found CrossFit so recently and have been able to get to kind of the pinnacle of our sport in such a short amount of time and without having planned for that at all. You know, there are a lot of kids or guys and girls that are out there in school, in college, that are trying to find their path and struggling to do so. I've seen it firsthand, and I was lucky enough to kind of fall into this and just really dedicate myself to pursuing one particular thing that I had never done before in my life. I had never touched a barbell until 5 years ago, and with a little bit of hard work was able to make it to the CrossFit Games, which was my dream since I started. So if there are any kids out there, guys, girls, even people in the master's category, whatever it may be, if this is something that you want to do and you've never done it before, just work hard and put in the time and dedication. Nothing replaces hard work is kind of something that stuck with me since day one when I walked into Peak for the first time. So stick with it, and I'll see you guys out there on the competition floor.
You heard it from the boy's mouth himself. The 2015 Wodapalooza champ says it, work hard, stick with it, and you guys could too be on the podium at Wodapalooza in 2016 or in the future. I think that's going to be occupied by you, my man. But
I hope so.
We'll see. Anyway, guys, that will wrap up our second episode of the Wodapalooza podcast. That's it. I really don't have anything else to say. I think it's like kind of like a mic drop here. It's,
boom.
That's it. But again, guys, make sure to follow us on social media at the Wadapalooza on Instagram and Twitter, and the Wadapalooza Fitness Festival on Facebook. Again, guys, WAD number 3 and 4, week 2, coming your way tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
I'm excited.
Yeah, be ready for what's to come. And make sure you guys are staying tuned, because we're going to have more of these episodes coming out about once a week. Much love. Noah, any parting words?
Thank you so much. Now it's a pleasure to be here. It's time to go work out.
Boom.